To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
It all starts with just one thing. Be smart when operating your thermostat this winter. Lowering the temperature just a few degrees saves a lot of energy, and a programmable thermostat can save even more. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, Cub fans, Pat Hughes here.
Cubs win!
Warm up your winter with your favorite boys of summer at the 35th Annual Cubs Convention, January 17th to 19th.
It's almost here. Hotel packages at the Sheraton Grand Chicago and weekend passes are almost gone. So get yours now.
With events like the Kids Only Press Conference with Anthony Rizzo. Appearances by new Cubs manager David Ross.
So honored to be able to lead such a talented group.
And your favorite Cubs players, both current and alumni.
Don't wait, Cub fans. For more event details and package options, go to Cubs.com/convention.
Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
The Bears, you know what they are? Right now, they're a blob team.
Oh, they're absolutely. Are you kidding?
They're an absolute NFL blob.
They are firmly ensconced, warmly caressed by the blob. They are right there in that blob. I trust that defense to play about as well as it has for the bulk of this season. I don't trust it to get blown out by the Raiders again and again and again.
I'd trust it a lot more if I knew what the middle linebacker was doing.
That would help some. That would help. I don't know that you have the kind of solutions available to you that they obviously found last season at 3-3 to get themselves to 12-4. I mean, you're 3-2 in a blob and hoping for things, not relying on enough.
Yeah, you don't have an identity. There isn't something you can say, here's what we do.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mike Florio joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. We always love our opportunity to talk to Mike. Good morning, Michael.
Morning. How's it going, guys?
Good. We are pumped up. It is that time of year. What a wonderful wild card round! And you know, we wondered earlier: did it ruin the divisional round in any way? I mean, you got seven new teams, which is pretty exciting from one year to the next. It tells teams that hey, there's a chance for you next year.
This is what the NFL wants. This is Pete Rozelle's vision from the 70s that ultimately did not come to fruition with the Patriots running roughshod over the NFL the past 20 years. This is good. The more teams that are new to the process in any given year tell the fans of all teams that any given year can be their year to turn it around. And the NFL has to like this. Now, they'd probably prefer to have the Cowboys or the Steelers or the Patriots in this tournament, but I think it's more star-driven now, or at least as much star-driven as it is by team-driven, because you've got Lamar Jackson, you've got Patrick Mahomes, you've got teams that are emerging quickly and attracting a lot of attention, like the 49ers and the Ravens. But I think it always is better when you have more than just the Packers in the final eight, because those are really the four. All due respect to the Bears, but the four national brands from my perspective are the Patriots, Steelers, Cowboys, and Packers.
Two of those stars are not part of the next round, and that's Tom Brady and Drew Brees, Mike. And if you had to guess, one or both, will they be with new teams next year, or are they going back to the teams that they've made careers with?
Well, I think Brees won't be with the Saints. I just don't know whether he'll play at all. It may be that they try to engineer a retirement from Drew Brees, and there's been some whispers that he's thinking about moving on from football. You know, the Saints have a hell of a decision to make. They've got Breeze, who's becoming a free agent. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a free agent. And Taysom Hill is going to be a restricted free agent. He was the best player on the field on Sunday. The Saints don't use him nearly enough. I don't know if there's any type of quarterback politics going on that keep Sean Payton from using Taysom Hill more extensively. But there could be somebody out there that sees Lamar Jackson and Taysom Hill and decides to make him an offer that the Saints can't match, especially if they're going to pay Drew Brees to stick around. So they've got a big decision to make, and they've got viable alternatives in-house, unlike the Patriots. And the difference with the Patriots is the idea that for the first time in his life, Tom Brady, or in his NFL career, he has a choice. And the Patriots have no control over that choice. And Bill Belichick get a little prickly when he's asked about it, because the guy who's used to always being in control has no control here. Now, we don't know if he wants Tom Brady back, but the bottom line is Tom Brady's going to call the shots here. And if he wants to come back, and ownership wants to give him his way, even if Bill Belichick wants to move on. I mean, that's the thing. Bill Belichick does not get to exercise his prerogative here. Whatever ultimately happens is going to be what Brady wants, not what Belichick wants.
Mike, I loved your post on Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy. The lead being the slow divorce between Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett was followed by a Vegas wedding for Jones and Mike McCarthy.
It really is amazing. I mean, the last thing we expected was a full week for Jones and Garrett to separate. And then I thought someone was pranking me yesterday morning when they say, hey, Jason, hey, Mike McCarthy's a new coach of the Cowboys. Like, what the hell are you talking about? They've interviewed two guys. They're just getting started. But they got started and they got finished.
Did they make a mockery of the Rooney Rule by just interviewing Marvin Lewis? Was that ever seriously considered by Jerry Jones, do you think? Or was that just, because they did go for experience, but what was going on there?
You know, I'm glad you've asked me that, because I've talked about it. I haven't written about it yet. You know, anytime you write anything that attacks the way that teams handle the Rooney Rule, there's some joker out there that calls you woke, right? No, look, there's a rule on the books, and it's very easy to check the box and not do an inclusive, diverse, complete search and just do what the Rooney Rule requires. So, hey, bring in Marvin Lewis for a quickie interview on Friday so we can say we complied with the Rooney Rule, and then you interview Mike McCarthy the next day and you hire him. And, you know, this is the team that back in 2003 interviewed Dennis Green by phone before hiring Bill Parcells, and it prompted the rule to be changed to require all minority candidates to be interviewed in person, face-to-face, because Jerry exploited a loophole. But, you know, there's always going to be this loophole when all you have to do is say, yes, we interviewed a minority candidate, you can hire anybody you want. And ultimately, these guys are going to hire who they want to hire. And if you're going to just do a perfunctory Rooney Rule interview, I'd rather it be a name that we're not already familiar with. I mean, at least give somebody a shot to interview who hasn't been a coach for 15 years, right?
Right.
Get a guy who's a rising assistant. Bring in Eric Bieniemy. Do something to give to create, because the only silver lining in this facade of owners checking boxes to comply with the Rooney Rule is that it forces them to inject into the consciousness a name that otherwise may be overlooked. And that name eventually develops enough momentum that that guy gets a coach. That's what happened for Marvin Lewis, right? He was invited to the porch enough times that he eventually got inside the door. And we know about Marvin Lewis. You don't need him to be your check-the-box candidate. And it's unfortunate that, you know, maybe they need to make it, maybe they need to add something more to it. I don't want to overcomplicate it, but it feels like it just was, all right, I have to interview a minority candidate. Boom, Marvin Lewis, good. Now I'll go hire who I want to hire.
Yeah, that's a little bit rough.
Some teams now will do two, right?
Right.
Do two so no one can say we were just checking the box. You check the box twice really hard and nobody can say you're just doing it to check the box.
Well,
right.
Look what Dan Rooney did when he had to hire a coach and he was not going to hire Mike Tomlin. He was going to hire someone else, and people talked to him like, hey, you can't have a rule like this and not make a hire. And the guy ends up with one of the great coaches in the league.
And see, this is the real problem, and Tony Dungy talks about this all the time. It's not whether or not there are going to be a greater concentration of minority coaches. It's getting owners to stop picking their next coach before they've even talked to any of them, right? Do a full search. Don't go into it with the end in mind and work backward to justify what you always wanted to do. But that's part of the dynamics here. And good luck telling a billionaire that he or she can't do whatever the hell they want to do when hiring the most important position in their business, head coach. I'm going to do what I want to do, and you can't tell me otherwise, and I think that's part of the problem as well. Too many of these owners already know who they want to hire before they even fire the person who creates the vacancy.
Back to the games, Mike. I like the Vikings going out to San Francisco because they have some momentum. How significant was that moment for Kirk Cousins, who hasn't been known for being a guy in the clutch, hasn't been known for having a guy with a defining game, and yet there it was. He didn't make, as Troy Aikman said, probably he made the best throw of his career. And does that kind of lift the weight? And now you look at Cousins, is he that much more dangerous?
Well, you know, it's funny. My first reaction when I heard Mike Zimmer yesterday talking about why they gave him the game ball and, you know, that this is all change for him. You know, this isn't Steve Young at Super Bowl 29 taking the monkey off of his back. Remember that video of him on the sideline? This is a guy who has created a narrative and earned that narrative of not being able to deliver in big moments, delivering twice, the 43-yard throw to Adam Thielen and then the quick throw to Kyle Rudolph, which was a sneaky great play because the snap was off into the side a little bit. He had to get the ball, control it quickly, and flip it to Kyle Rudolph. That's it. And I think Mike Zimmer, who 2 years ago, if you remember, when Case Keenum was playing really well for the Vikings, Zimmer played that Bill Parcells game where he gave him no praise, gave him no credit, kept dangling that carrot in front of him. It's kind of against nature for Zimmer to now praise Cousins, but I think Zimmer is reading this as, now that Cousins has popped through a little tiny hole in the ceiling with one hand, he's going to be able to bash it open with the other hand, and maybe this is the moment to praise him for what he's done in anticipation that he'll be able to continue it this weekend. So we'll see whether or not that psychology experiment works, but I think that's why Zimmer, in part why Zimmer's doing what he's doing, because 2 years ago with Keenum, he just was skeptical, and sometimes being skeptical is the thing that's the red-hot poker that gets a guy to keep going. With Cousins, he finally did it, and you give him praise, and you hope that he can do even more when they, you know, 6-day turnaround to San Francisco after coming home from New Orleans. This is a tall, tall task for the Vikings.
There's a rumor out there that the Bears are considering Pat Shurmur as their new offensive coordinator. I wonder if Pat Shurmur is considering the Bears, given that he wouldn't be the play caller, apparently. He would have to work with Matt Nagy. It's just bizarre, I think. Not sure that rumor is accurate.
Well, Pat Shurmur wants to be an offensive coordinator again, and there will be some opportunities. He could go to Washington. He could go back to Minnesota if Kevin Stefanski ends up getting a head coaching job. He could go to Kansas City if Eric Bieniemy gets one of the vacancies. Pat Shurmur is kind of like this generation's Norv Turner, a guy who does well enough as an offensive coordinator that he keeps creating head coaching opportunities, but fails miserably as a head coach and goes back to being an offensive coordinator and then does really well, and somebody makes him a head coach. At some point, you just accept, I'm really good as an offensive coordinator, and I'm happy with that job. That is the, and I'll include Wade Phillips and to a certain extent Hugh Jackson into that mindset, where you're so good at the job one step down, people are going to keep giving you chances one step up. And the sooner you just become aware of your limitations, and, you know, 9-23 in Cleveland, 9-23 in New York, just focus on being a coordinator. And there may be an opportunity out there, because, you know, once these jobs start to get filled and dominoes fall and spots open, and it may be that the Bears' opportunity is the only one he has, if he can't go somewhere else and be the coordinator and actually call the plays.
Mike, Pete Thamel from Yahoo Sports is reporting that Baylor coach Matt Rhule is finalizing a deal to become the next coach of the Carolina Panthers. What's your reaction, and are you surprised?
Well, that is a surprise, because the thinking was that the Giants were going to lock on to Rhule, and now that opens up that Giants job, and it makes you wonder whether or not Jason Garrett is going to emerge. There was a report earlier today that the only reason that the Giants would go after Jason Garrett would be if the Matt Rhule thing falls through. So, you know, it tells me David Tepper is going to do things his own way. And, you know, he's going with the hot commodity from the college ranks, and we'll see if it works.
Yeah. That doesn't always work, Mike, as we well know. Hey, listen, thanks a ton. Great catching up.
Yeah, you know, you guys, I got to go get to work now.
Yeah,
you guys have scooped me.
Thanks, Mike.
See you, Mike. Guys.
Good stuff.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk at NBC Sports.
Yeah, so Matt Rhule from Baylor could be replacing Ron Rivera. That is a bit of a surprise because...
hot name, big, you know, big name was rumored to be a part of it, and Dallas never, they never
has some NFL experience back. He's been on NFL staff, I believe, and he's got the offensive sort of innovation that a lot of teams are looking for. So, yeah, I could see that. I thought they were going to go for experience, but new owner, probably looking for a different direction. You go from a defensive coach, defensive-minded head coach, to a guy who knows how to score some points.
What do you think they're saying in New York if Jason Garrett shows up?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I mean, you think he had it bad in Dallas with the hand clapping?
But just think
in my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year.
I'm sorry, Jerry. If you're in New York and you go from Pat Shurmur to Jason Garrett, have you gotten better?
No. How have you gotten better? I can't see it.
It's the same type of guy. It's the same type of approach, right? Except for the experience level.
If you were Pat Shurmur, wouldn't you want to try to be an offensive coordinator somewhere rather than have a title somewhere?
Yes. Yeah. If you're going to specifically talk about the Bears,
you're
rumor,
making $4 million in the next 3 years.
You're not doing this for the money. You're doing this for your, you know, career satisfaction, your next move, you're kind of positioning yourself for that. I don't know that makes a lot of sense for him. Now, look, if the Bears thing works out, you could say that that's a really good situation for the Bears if, and that's a big if, he's allowed to call the plays. Because if you're bringing him in, you're bringing him in because of his experience in having success doing that.
Well, I don't understand why he'd want to come here and not call the plays.
Well, I don't think that he would.
Yeah.
That's why I think that sort of doesn't, I'm with you. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me unless Nagy relinquishes that responsibility, and there's been no sign that he's willing to do that.
He's been very outspoken about his unwillingness to do that.
He's adamant about it.
Yes. Yeah,
no question about it.
So it makes no sense to me.
But
if they hire him, then that would be great. You could then think maybe he gives up play calling, which I think is needed right now.
It'd be a sign of progress. I really think that if you get a guy with his track record, not as a head coach, as an offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur was very well respected and had some success. That would be a step forward.
All right. We'll bring in Dan and Connor next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to two on the Score.
You have the GM of the Bears telling you that Mitch didn't play a lot in college. These were all things that should have gone into your evaluation process at the time, and they didn't, for a quarterback that you didn't properly vet.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
The Great Clip of the Game, sponsored by Great Clips. Save time on your next haircut. Use online check-in. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
Satoransky going upstairs and thrown down. A two-handed dunk coming in baseline left. A Zach attack.
I don't know why we don't run that play more often. I like it.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
The Hall of Famer! Good morning, Hawk. How are you?
Congratulations, Hawk.
Thanks a lot, guys. Yeah, it was an interesting day yesterday, I'll tell you. It was something that when I got the call, they were supposed to call around 11 o'clock, and then it got to be about 11:25, and I'm just saying, you know, well, Hawk, we got to wait longer. And then about 10 seconds later, the phone rang, and I picked up my phone, and I saw where it says Cooperstown, and I said, uh-oh. And they told me that I've been selected, and, you know, that was just, it's just a great honor. I mean, you know, I really had a brain cramp. I didn't know what to say. It's like my brain froze there, and the only I could say was thank you.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Hey, what's up? I'm Jerry.
Oh, hi there, I'm Al.
And we do a podcast like almost every day, but not quite.
It's the Al and Jerry post-game podcast. We really started it to talk about things we didn't get to on the Boomer and Geo show, but now it's really just us talking about robots, rats in New York City, and dumb people in Florida.
And porn sites that do studies and polls.
Yes, studies and polls. You can download and subscribe on radio.com and the new radio.com app.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. Don't forget about